Yesterday, and you guys can just turn to Genesis, and then I'm going to show you something in the Word on what the Lord showed me. And I believe God is trying to get something across to us that we need to see. So we're going to dig deep. You may not understand it, but I'm going to make it as simple as possible for you to understand it. There's also these cards that are back there. I need you to fill them out, please, into your entirety. Give me your birthday, but you don't have to give me the year. Your birthday, but you don't have to give the year, okay? Your email, your physical address, your children. Went ahead and I found this database online that is free. And it's free for the first 100 people. So I know that's not going to be free for long because we're already at 76 names on there. And I haven't even inputted the children yet. We have more children than we do adults. That's fruit. Say fruit. That's good fruit. That's good fruit. Your children are good fruit. Amen. Ooh, y'all lost me there for a minute. I was like, am I at the house of man or where am I at? That's good fruit. So what we need is to have this filled out. I am not going to hunt you down. If you don't come, I'm not going to hunt you down. I will send you a text with some things. I've got some blogs that I'm working at that I'm going to be sending out. And then if I have something I'd like to share with everybody, I could just send out a mass text or a mass email just real quick with this thing. The good thing about this program also is, look, it's tithe and offering recap time. In other words, for last year, all your tithes and offering. That's wonderful when you have a program. Wonderful. But when you got somebody like me that, you know, you have me staring at a computer too long, my eyes go this way, that way, up, everything. So when I found this thing, it was so simple. I input the name, it's done. At the end of the year, give me a recap, and I do it myself. Beautiful. So that's why these are very important. Thank you for getting them done. Please fill them out. Some of you, I know you filled them out before. You see, these are bigger than the last ones, and probably have more room to write because some of the emails or some of the phone numbers that we had last time, they weren't complete or I couldn't read them. So please fill them out for your family so that I can get a database and I can have an accurate database and I don't have to do everything just on an Excel sheet. And if you know about Excel, there's a lot of cells. There's a lot of lines. I know like. Please. Got it? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Are you in Genesis? Are you at the beginning, huh? Are you at the beginning? That's what Genesis means, the beginning. What I want to share with you is something that I believe is very, very interesting, that the Lord is going to reveal a nugget of truth and a nugget that only comes from the throne of God. I believe that God is speaking in this hour to give us insight, wisdom, and to give us the nugget that he wants for us to hold on to. Amen? Amen? All right. The power of words. We know in Proverbs 18:21 is there's power and life in the tongue. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. God said, let it be, and it was so. Words framed us in our existence based on what we believe to be true. We went over that last week on Wednesday. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat what? Fruits. There is death and life. Correct? Okay, maybe some of y'all may know where I'm going, but okay, I'm going to just show you a little bit, just a little bit. All right, I'll ease up now. Okay, last week we talked about sticks and stones will what? But words will? Well, we know that to be some sort of a craziness because we know it all hurts. Toxic, involving something poisonous relating to or containing to a poison or toxin. See number two where it says right there? Deadly, causing serious harm or death. Poisonous substance, a poison or a toxin. That's what toxins are. Okay? Now, words will enter into your ear gates. These are your ear gates. These are called gates for a reason. Things enter in. But we have a tendency not to let them go out the other ear. Understand? Sometimes we have nonsense coming our way. The nonsense that kind of causes us to say, that don't even that's not even right. You don't even talk that way. You shouldn't even be talking that way to me. I'm the righteousness of God. You know how we all do, because we're Christians. We do that. But why is it that we just can't get over the words that are spoken? Because it's already taken root. Because there's life and there's death in it. We have to realize that some of our circumstances we have to get rid of. We have to get rid of them. Because they're toxic to us. In Genesis 2:8, God planted a garden, did he not? So let's go to Genesis 2. Genesis 2 and verse 8. And you should be there already, correct? Okay. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Do you see that? Yes. Can you read that last part? It says, and good for food. Right? So everything that God made is good. Every fruit was good. It wasn't that the fruit that was on the tree that made Adam fall was bad fruit. I'm going to kind of let you know, sometimes you go get a word from someone, could be a good word, but it turns out to be something just bad in your life because of something we did, not what was spoken. Do you understand? Now, if you start reading here, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, we know there's two trees there, right? There's two trees. There's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then there's a tree of life. Now, we understand that. I mean, that's pretty simple to understand. There's a tree of good, and there's a tree that also has evil in it, so you got different fruits there. But it was the knowledge of it. All fruit of it was good. The problem that happened is that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. That's the sin. Yep. That was the sin. But I find it very interesting that Adam, the first Adam, was in the garden, and so was Satan, the serpent. Correct? Do you know the story? And then God tells Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat it. If you read on in the story, Satan even comes to Eve now, and Eve is the one that says, well, God says we can't eat it, or we're surely going to die. But then she adds something to it. She had something to it that she should have never done. I want to continue on reading here in Genesis 2 and verse 17. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you should not eat of it. For in the day that you there shall eat, you shall surely die. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man shall be alone. He will make him a helpmeet for him. Now, we all have seen that story going off so many different directions, that the woman is the one that did this, but they were both one. Now, go to chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which was the Lord God had made. God made it. God made the serpent. And said unto the woman, yes, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Truth. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it. And what's right after that? Or touch it. Did God say you shouldn't touch it? Here's proof right here. Don't add anything to what God is telling you to do. Don't add anything else to it because it's going to get you in trouble. What God tells you to do or tells you not to do, don't take it in your own mindset that you can add something to it to make it fit for you. Kind of like where we are today, where the gospel is so seeker-friendly that we're just going to add a little bit extra grace in this one area because it needs to fit me. It needs to fit me. You wonder why we continue to perish the way we're perishing? Because we keep adding to the word that God has already spoken. And because we keep adding to it, it's getting us more and more in trouble. Jesus had to come into the garden for a reason. Jesus, I'm going to show you. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows when that day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods. Say gods. Gods. How many of us think that we know everything? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. It's a trick question. It's a trick question. You've been around, okay, let's put it this way. You've been around some folks that think they know it all. They know it all because, you know, they just been through stuff and they just know it all. And because they went through a certain thing and they came out a certain way, that's the way you got to do it just to come out of your issue. I don't know about you. He made me wonderful and great in his image. But the things I go through may not be the things that you go through. Or the way I come out of things is not the way you're going to come out of things. Seems like sometimes we get around some people that always want to put something on you that is not from God. Like words added to what God spoke. He gave instructions specifically to both of them. Do not eat of it. Eve added more to it. So when it came now to the serpent, who was more cunning, he was very sly, very slick. God made him, right? Tells truth and half-truth, kind of like how the devil kind of gets to you. Well, as long as you just believe in Christ and your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven, but you can go ahead and do anything you want to do. Don't worry about it. Doesn't he do that? Oh, the devil doesn't do that to you? Oh, you don't get tested like I get tested then. Because it's only the pastors that do stuff like that, right? Only the pastors get tested by Satan. Oh, y'all get tested too? Well, then there must be some truth to this because you have truth inside of you. So he's going to try to sour the truth. He's going to try to make it so it's not good for you. But do you know that when God speaks something to you that it's everlasting? The problem is that we have a tendency to look beyond the truth and we look at the lie before we look at the truth. In our soulish realm is our mind, will, and emotions. Most of the times the word comes to us and we're wrapped up in all kinds of emotion. Have you ever made a decision when you're mad? Did it always go good? Usually your emotions are going to get you in trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. Might even get you to the point you're going to move out of a house because of a certain circumstance and you just feel like you got to do it because of your emotions are running high and you fear and you do something out of the will of God, and the next thing you know, it didn't work out the way you planned. That's happened to y'all. So there's patterns. But how come we don't want to look at the patterns? Because haven't we done the same thing again? Haven't we had that opportunity to make a decision, but we based our decision off of an emotion again? But the last decision we made on our emotions, we were way off. But here comes another opportunity for us to make a decision or do something. We do it based on our emotions. We do the same pattern again. We're creatures of habit, are we not? So that makes sense now. And if you continue reading on in Genesis, when God takes Adam and leads him out of the garden. Do you understand that? He leads him out of the garden. Then he places the cherubim angel, and it wasn't the little fat little baby with wings, around this tree. What tree did they guard? What tree did he guard? The tree of life. Why? Because if you were to have the tree of life after you already sinned, you're going to stay in your sin forever. So he didn't want us to stay in our sin. So we know that, right? But why is it that if God can protect us from doing that, but we have a tendency to want to go back and do the same stuff all over again? Are we that much and just so dependent on having all kinds of drama around us that our life speaks of novellas and days of our life because there's so much drama around us because we want to do things out of habit? And doing things out of habit doesn't mean you're getting better at what you're doing. You're just doing things out of habit because you've created a pattern in your life. How about you? But I don't want no patterns. He gives us a clear indication of what we're supposed to do. He tells us what we have to do and we must do. We must rid the seeds of death that root in the heart and soul. The mind, will, and emotions. Let's rid all of these seeds. When I'm speaking to you right now, you're receiving words of life. Words of life. What you do with this word is going to be determined on you. If I was to teach you to be a carpenter, which I'm not, so you wouldn't learn much anyhow. But if I was to teach you to be a carpenter and give you every tool that is necessary, give you a level, give you a saw, an electric drill, and a square, and all these other kind of stuff they call, right? But I'm teaching you how to use it. But if you don't apply it, are you ever going to be proficient in it? So who's does the responsibility lie on? You. Have you ever wondered, okay, I'll just talk to myself. Marty, have you ever wondered why you can be talking to people and they just don't get it? No, Marty, I don't know why that happens. I question that a lot, though. See people going through the same most, because I won't get anybody mad. See people going through what they're going through, and I've given them the tools, and they don't want to use it. Matter of fact, I've even showed them how, and they still don't get it. What is the problem? Do they not believe what we're saying? Or they don't feel like it's for them? We have a tendency to look to see who it's for. Kind of looking at y'all, y'all have a tendency to know what I'm talking about. Because y'all partaking of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I can give you an illustration. JJ, stand up, please. JJ is a tree of the knowledge. The knowledge. Say knowledge.
Knowledge.
His eyes are opened to good and evil. So guess what JJ's fruit is going to do? Look for good and evil in people. Jeff, will you stand up, please? Look at what the tree of life does. The tree of life only looks for... No. Because this is the tree of life. Doesn't have good or evil. It looks for life. What has happened in Christianity today and for centuries, we've been so stuck on this tree. Looking at fault in everybody because we have the knowledge of good and evil in everyone. Because our eyes have been open. It's easier to see someone's fault. But we don't want to look into someone's life from the tree of life. Isn't Jesus called the tree of life? He's the tree of life. That's why he never came to judge the sinner. He says, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world and to give it life. We're still stuck over here, bringing condemnation to everybody. Why? Because the moment they ate of the fruit of this tree, the nature of that, the sin of disobeying God, that's the real sin, disobeying God. Our eyes were open when they should have never been opened. You're missing it. Our eyes should have never been opened to evil. Ever. It should have only been open just for life the way he intended it for us. Do you understand? That's why when we're in churches that always want to preach that you're going to hell because you're in sin. You're a sinner and you're never going to amount to nothing. They're still on this tree. And there's a lot of ministries out there that way. The one that is doing all that hollering and you're going to hell, well, they got the first class ticket there anyhow because they're doing this still. The one that extends grace from the tree of life, out of life of Jesus, and extends grace and life that sees the life in the individual can say, the way you are right now and what you've done in that act or in that thing of sin, the act of sin, missing the mark of God, then you see the fruit of the sin, which is all these other things that we list, okay? This sees the individual as God sees them. Do you understand? So why did God have to take Adam out of the garden? He had to take him out because he had to show him, when you disobey me, I'm going to take you out of your promise, and you're going to have to work to get back at it. Now watch. Why? Because if Adam would have stayed in the garden, everything provided for him, would he ever have a need for a God? No. Haven't you ever seen anybody self-righteous thinking, everything's going good, I'm figuring things out, I don't need God? Oh, we run into those a lot, trust me. I don't need God because I know what's going on. I'm in control of my own destiny. You don't tell me I've got my own future. I go to college, and after I get out of college and get me a job, I'm going to have my master's degree and bachelor's degree and doctor's degree. There's so many of those people that don't even have a job today. The one, and I'm not knocking college, go get your education. Be edumacated. But it's to understand that God is the one that's in control. When we stay here on this tree, and you're not that tree, I'm just an example. When we stay right here on this tree, we can never advance to life. And there's ministries today that continue to be just like this, being deceived by the same serpent that was in that garden, keeping us in that garden to continue to keep people out of their promise. That's what the devil was doing. To keep them out of their promise by showing them they're evil, showing them they're bad, and never showing them the life that's already inside of them. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So he has to take Adam, the first Adam, out of the garden. But watch this. Oh. Go to Luke 4. Luke. Do the force. Luke 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Did you read that? Does anybody have in there that says garden? You have desert? Okay. You have desert, right? Right? I'm just making sure we're all reading the same thing, right? So we know that the wilderness is a desert place. It's dry. It's dead. Correct? Okay. You have those little tabs like these. Keep it in your Bible. Put your finger in there. Put a pencil or something. Keep it marked. God, I love your word, God. I love your word. Let's go to Genesis again. Let's go to Genesis 19. Genesis 19 at verse 10. When you're there, say amen. I'm trying to show you something. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. We're there? Okay. Genesis 19 and verse 10, it says, but the man put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house, and them shut the door. And they smote the men who were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. Getting reverb, hold on. Okay, you with me? And the men said unto Lot, have you here any besides son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and whatsoever you have in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Where were they at? In a city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Correct? Okay, I'm just going to point something out, just some facts. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, get up out of the place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one who mocked unto his sons-in-law. In other words, he had no urgency. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters which are here, lest
you can be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid a hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him without the city. Taken out. Taken out. Correct? Do y'all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Let me just kind of give you a brief recap. Sodom and Gomorrah was a place full of iniquity, full of all kinds of sexual perversion. Correct? Craziness. These men that were knocking on the door, they wanted to have sex with the angels. Okay? Crazy stuff. Crazy. Now, because of Abraham, God found favor for Lot to keep Lot. Correct? Okay. Now, just to kind of bring the story up, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Fire. Correct? Brimstone and what? Sulfur. So if God was to destroy a city, what would it look like to you after it was destroyed? A what? A desert? A wasteland? So when Lot's wife turned and looked back, what was she turned into? Salt. Say the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the actual resting place of where Sodom and Gomorrah used to stand. There is no life in it. No life in it. Okay? So when God does something, he changes the way even the land looks. Correct? Did he not destroy it? When she turned back and looked, she turned to a pillar of salt. So now the destruction of that city is no longer looks like a city. It looks like a desert. However, because during that judgment, he rained down fire and rain. Say, hello, sea. The Dead Sea. The Dead Sea. Correct? Okay, okay. We're going to back up a little bit more in Genesis. Genesis is good. Do y'all read y'all's word? I say that because there's a lot of good stuff in here. What you said now, shoot. The Bible's like, sook it if I'm in here. I love the word. Mm-hmm. I want you to go to Genesis 7, verse 6. Just going to show you another act of God. Now, we read early on that Adam was taken out of the garden. And if you understand that the garden had four rivers that ran into the garden, correct? So you're in a place that all kinds of resources are there for you to be sustained in your promise. That's what your garden represents, is promise. But because sin in the man caused God to get him out of promise, your sin's going to get you out of your promise. However, I'm not talking to sinners. I'm talking to the righteousness of God as each and every one of you that you are. You're not sinners. Because if you're a sinner, then it wasn't done on the cross. Do you have tendencies to do some acts that would be called sin? We all do. Is that a green light for you to go and sin? No, you should not want to sin anyhow because of the price that he paid for you. Just clearing that up. Just, I don't want emails and everybody. Okay. Genesis 7, verse 6. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' his wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Now, there's a flood. Now here's an act again with water. Water. The water flooded the earth. Now, I'm still looking at an effect of just a little bit of water that's wet back there. Actually, I can see the ring from here of the effect of the water being poured out. Correct? When God does something, he does it so that you see the effect of who he is. Now, with that kind of water, we get rain here for about 3 days. We get flash flood warnings and everything. And not only does the flood come, but you know what certain areas are going to flood. You already know that. But the other thing that it does, when the water gets to a certain level, it starts to erode away the levels of the bank. You follow me? The waters begin to change the way the land looks. So what do you think happened to the Garden of Eden? Huh? Did I lose you? Okay. Let Medina Lake overflow its banks, over the dam and everything. Let it overflow. But even more than just kind of coming over. But let that thing get really, really full. I'm prophesying you because that lake is in desperate need. And I love Medina. Whew. But let that whole town be flooded. Will it not change the topography, meaning the area, the way it looks? Will it not change it? Okay, so now we know we're in agreement that that kind of amount of water is going to change certain things. God is so good. So good. Let's go back to Luke 4. You had your finger on it, right? Okay, Luke 4. Luke 4, being full of the Holy Spirit, he returned from Jordan. He was led by the Spirit, say where? Into the wilderness. There was something there before. Maybe you're not connecting the dots, but let me connect it for you. There was something there before. Being in the region which would be called today modern day Babylon, where the Garden of Eden was. The last Adam got driven by the Spirit back into the garden, where the life, the tree of life, was then planted and tested. See, when the tests come, it's to get your roots even deeper. The last Adam had to go back into the garden. Who was there in that garden? We call it the wilderness because it wasn't beautiful anymore. Kind of like how when we mess things up in God, when we're sinning, our lifestyle begins to bring some dryness into our life. And we wonder why things are just so dry and things just don't kind of go right because we're missing the mark in God. We're not listening to every word. We're adding to his word to make it conducive for us so that we can make things just feel right. I know there's a spirit in this house right now. I wondered why so much stuff was happening. There was a spirit in here right now. I can feel him. I can feel him. But you know, when you start talking truth, didn't Jesus respond to the enemy with truth? And the enemy responded with half-truth, misquoting the word purposely. Whoo! The Garden of Eden, Adam, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam had to be taken out of there so that the last Adam, there won't be another. The last Adam can go right back into the original garden, which has now become a wasteland because of the way we treated the word. And had to be full of the Spirit to be tempted of the same serpent. You follow me? Man, I'm getting deeper, and I don't know if you are getting this. That Adam messed up, but the last Adam doesn't just redeem us. He brings to us power, because when he comes out of the garden, it says he came out with power and he began his ministry. I'm trying to get you unlocked of all of this soulless junk that is still locked up of the knowledge of the evil that is within you. The tree of life doesn't see the evil, it sees life. And what it does, it uproots with power, the Holy Spirit, and it brings, now here's the water again, to cleanse out all the junk and get rid of it all. When I got my shop vac and began to pick up all that water, there was a lot of dirt in that water. Why? Looking at the carpet, okay, it don't look so bad. But when the water, which is representative of the Holy Spirit, gets into your life, it removes the junk and the dirt that has been put in you from the beginning of time. And trying to change your mind, your mindset. But what has happened, we get so wrapped up in that tree over there that we want to point to other people and say, I know that's what you're going through right now. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Look at someone and say, you are the righteousness of God, and the promises of God are for you. They're yay and amen. And well, you may be going through something like I'm going through, but you're coming out on the other side. Your garden may have been plentiful before, but you felt like you're in a wilderness where it's dry and desolate and there's no life in it. But Jesus was being led by the Spirit of God into your dryness and into your dry places so he can bring the fruit back into your garden. Oh, man. I wonder why I don't like to preach deep, because I may lose a few people. Let me get my dance on a little bit. Woo! Woo! Let me tell you, Jesus is coming in to bring water, life, fruitfulness into your desert places. Regardless of what came in here, he's going to get right into the soul and take it out. Why do you think that Jesus came to save your very soul? He came to save your mind, all of your will, and every daggone emotion, every single one. It takes place in the garden. Why a garden? Why a garden? Every time Jesus prayed, was he not in a garden? What is prayer? Prayer is seed that goes in to the ground and it produces fruit as its original intent in the garden. So why do you think he gets after his disciples when they're sleeping, when they should be praying? Because they got so used to being walking around when there was nothing happening. And when Jesus wanted to go pray, they said, it's boring. Why you think we can't get strong intercessory prayer in churches? Because it's boring. Jesus has to come off of his praying mount. Oh, man, you ain't interceding over there. He was in a garden. In other words, he's saying, you still have all those thorns and thistles that are coming up. But by prayer, you can make a change. You can make a change. When you don't want to pray, your garden stays desert wasteland. Jesus was showing us in everything that he ever did so that we can see God and the kingdom of God be displayed in him. Go to your garden, baby. Why do you think Prophet Clement goes to his garden? Why do you think I love my flowers, baby? Why do you... My wife just asked me, how come you didn't bring in your plants this winter? And it's colder than last winter. I said, I ain't got to worry about it at all. My plants aren't dying. Mm-mm. All I got to do is water them before the freeze. Hallelujah. What? Put the Holy Ghost in your life before the storm comes and you won't die. You just get stronger at the root. Jesus, I'm getting out. I'm telling you. We want to wonder what you do. You pray, baby? Do you pray? Do you pray when you go to sleep? Oh, just let me sleep good. You know that's strong prayer right there? Because you're putting your life in his hands. Jesus teaching all these crazy Christians, which were ministers and elders and prophets and teachers, and he was teaching them. And all of a sudden, come here, baby, come here. Come here. And guess what the teachers and all the preachers and prophets wanted to do? Wanted to remove the child from him. Don't bother the teacher. What did the teacher say? Come here, baby. This is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God. Why? Seed. Seed. Fruit. What is he saying? He wasn't looking to see how big. Can you stand up, Jason? You're tall. Stand up. That's a big man right there, right? He's tall. God sees him like this. As a child without any knowledge of evil. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The tree is also of the knowledge of good, too, is it not?
Yes.
So they didn't have any knowledge of good?
That's all they ever had was good.
Oh, okay. So
their original intent was good. In other words, you can walk around, oh, everything's good. God created the heavens and the earth. He created man. He created the fruit. He created the trees. He created the beasts. And he turned around and says, it is good. That's all they ever knew. The moment they disobeyed God is the real sin. The fruit wasn't it. The fruit was not the sin. And by God, it wasn't an apple either. I'm going to say, and I don't find it in Scripture. This is my thought. Pastor Marty's thought. Making it very clear. It's not in the Bible. Guess what Marty thinks?
What does Marty think?
That was good. Right on cue, girl. Right on cue. The fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, I believe, was flesh. After they ate of that fruit, flesh, they saw they were naked. They saw flesh. It talks about how God came and fashioned and formed skin. What happened? Disobedience, partaking of flesh, makes more flesh on you. Oh, man, shoot. Bishop in the house, man. Bishop in the house. T.D. Jakes just walked in and started giving y'all something deep. That's why I said that's just smarter. You ain't going to find it in here. You ain't going to find it in here. That's my thought. Because the Bible says that, and Jesus begins to teach later on concerning the trees. Concerning the trees, more importantly, concerning the fruit. You know the tree by what? It's fruit. So when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, you see the next thing that takes place is concerning their flesh. They begin to get covered. God covers them and then he removes them. When you allow flesh to overrule what God is telling you to do, you will always be removed out of what God wants for you. Why do you think the enemy wants to come and get you where it hurts? So that you get enough of where it hurts, comes out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. You ever been around somebody that's just so bitter and angry and mad all the time? It's because it's connected to their soul. And their emotions are connected to their heart. And their heart is connected to the breath of God. What you speak either gives life or it gives it death. Toxins. That's why we've got to detox our soul. But what I just gave you was nuggets of truth. Nuggets of truth. These nuggets come from Rhema word. Rhema. A now word. You may have been focusing on the word. You may have been focusing on the tree. My focus was on the wilderness garden. Because even Jesus was led by the Spirit of God back to that garden. And every other time that you read about Jesus going to the garden, he goes and he goes to pray. He goes to pray. We pray for revival. We pray for an outbreak of God's glory. But we don't want to pray. The only way you're ever going to see God move in your life is back in the garden of prayer. Because it's seed. And it produces after its kind. And it begins to produce for you. It may be dry, nasty, and ugly. You may be seeing quite a few of those serpents called devils around you while you're there. But here's the beautiful thing, that even Jesus, God himself, allowed the created angels that he created to come and minister to him in the garden. You understand? When are we going to let the angels of God come minister to us? Once we know that we can't do it no more. It says that the Bible says that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. When he was weak, the enemy came. He ain't going to come at you when you all filled up. He ain't going to come at you when you just got revelation like you did tonight. He's going to say like, they got some fire. They got sofrito. They ain't going to, no. I'm going to wait when things just ain't going right. Somebody just, you know, made them mad a little bit. Boom, I'm going to get in there. And then I'm going to have them speak something in the atmosphere concerning their garden. Understand? How many of you got some circumstances in your life you want to get rid of? We're going to speak to that circumstance. And we're going to let seed go forth and be planted in your circumstance. Amen. So that this way your garden can be plentiful. Not with the knowledge of evil, but of life. Do you understand? The garden is there for our benefit. Our benefit. Jesus was the seed that was planted in the garden and went to another garden, went to another garden, and then was planted on a mountain that hung between two thieves. The thief who was always a thief. This is good. Said to the other thief, why are you mocking him? Do you not fear God? We are just for our punishment to be on the cross. For we are getting what is rightfully just for us. We have done wrong. But this man has done no wrong. How is it that thief knew it? His eyes were opened. And the most beautiful thing that takes place is that Jesus now speaks to the thief because the eyes were open. Said, today you'll be with me in the garden. What the enemy wants you to believe is you're never going to get your garden. You're never going to get your promise. Your garden is being tilled. Your garden is being watched after by God because it's the word. And he watches his word for it to be performed. You understand? If I can urge you, please, please pray. Like it illustrated with a young girl, God, keep me tonight. Commit yourself to him. Your Lord. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. But you control everything. And I surrender to you. How many of us need to surrender? I think we all do. Have we made mistakes? Yes. Have we let something come out of our mouth? Oh, yes. Yeah. Do we need God to just wipe away and clean our slate? God wants to get into your soul and remove every toxic word, every situation or circumstance that ever took place. See, that was God just came in. He wants to get in that area. Will you let him? Because he's not going to come against your will. Many preachers that I've been around always say, God's a gentle God. He doesn't just force his way into your will. He waits for you to surrender your will. The problem that we have is we don't trust. We don't trust that he's going to lead us besides the still waters. You understand? Because we're always around the turbulent waters. Peter was a character in the Bible. A lot of people love David. I loved Peter. You read on early in the writings that they write about Peter, and Peter messed up all the time. He walked around with a size 15 shoe in his mouth, really, because he always had his foot in his mouth. Always messing up. Just messing up. But he just had enough faith. Just, this is water, but I'm going to walk. Or he had enough to believe that you coming to touch my master? Shoot, I'm from the west side. Didn't he not just make a fool out of himself then? But Jesus was still right there with him, fixing his every mistake and loving him every step of the way. Condemnation comes from hell, and it comes from a deceiver. Grace comes from a God that loves you. And he loves you so much that he doesn't want to see you in the mess that you've been in. He wants to get you out of your wilderness experience to bring you into your garden where the rivers run to you. He proves it in his word. He says, just bring me your seed into the storehouse and see if I not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's no room enough for you to contain it. He's talking about you, your garden, so that the rivers can run right back to you and bring a harvest in your garden. But we get so caught up when we don't have it right now. He's still going to do it. And whatever you've done in your past or even your today does not disqualify you from his promise, because you're covered by his blood. And when he made a covenant, he made it before you were ever formed. These will be my people, and I will watch out for them, and I will always give them a way of escape. And even when they don't have the escape, because they don't realize it, I've already paid the price. And he's come to pay the price for you, even in your circumstance right now. I believe that tonight is a night that every soulless word that was ever spoken into your life, every toxic word that would rub you the wrong way or even made you feel like, why would you even speak that to me, is coming out at its root. John the Baptist is looking at the multitude that are coming, and he says that the axe is already at the root to uproot those. They're in so much turmoil. You just have to come with the right heart so he can make change. How many of you want that change? Now is that time. Stand to your feet and honor the King. Honor the King. Honor your Lord. Close, every head bowed. You know what struggles and what hardships are there in your life. You know what? God has ever came in and said, I'm going to change this, but yet you didn't see a change. I'm going to heal this, but you haven't felt the healing. You're still on medication. I'm going to bring to you prosperity, but you haven't seen breakthrough. God's saying, I have spoken in my written word. My written word, my promise. That's why the written word shall never pass away, because he watches it to be performed for you. Businesses may, you think, have fallen or failed. God says, I'm in the business of multiplying you and making you great, so that men can look upon you and say, God has did what he said he was going to do. And you're going to see far greater than what you've ever seen. Your eyes are going to be open, and you're going to see the garden that God has for you. Father, I thank you right now that every person under the sound of my voice, those that are not even present here today, but their spirit is connected, their will is connected to this house, their soul is connected to this house. I speak, God, for your words have no boundaries. And I speak your word, God, that you are our Redeemer. You redeemed us from the knowledge of evil, and you redeemed us back to life. To have eyes to see life in every individual and not the evil. That we no longer take that role of a judge, that we give that to you. But we take that of a friend and a brother to love each one like we love ourselves. And if we have troubles, God, loving ourselves, help us to love ourselves so that we can love others. Now, Father, I make a declaration and a commitment to you, God. Take another step closer to the will of God for my life. And God, I want to run to you. I want to let all my past hurts, my past experiences, my past letdowns, my fears, and the unknown, I want to leave it at your feet. And I want to be in my original state when you put me in the garden, to know only good and to have life abundantly, because you died to give me new life. And because I accepted you, Jesus, I'm being made new. I'm being made perfect. I'm in my process of being restored to my original state. God, I just thank you that you love me so much that you came down on earth out of eternity to die on a tree. The tree of life, so that you could give me life. And God, I accept the seed that you sent unto this earth. His name is Jesus. We call him Emmanuel, God with us. God, I thank you that we are a people that you called before the foundations of this earth. And before we were ever formed, you knew us. We had relationship in the spirit. And when we were born, we took on flesh. But we weren't born into sin because you paid the price of sin. We were born into righteousness. And God, I thank you that the kingdom of heaven is here at hand. Father, we don't bind no devil. We just speak your word. We speak your word, God. That you are the bread of life. You are the tree of life. You are our Savior. Accept my heart and my will unto you, God, so that I could do your perfected will in my life. God, I thank you I love you and I worship you. You are truly King. You are truly Lord. Enter into my heart again. Let me be born again, again. Father, I just thank you for a change and a transition, and that my soul be detoxed of every toxin, knowing or unknowing, God, because you're the all-knowing God. What I can't see, feel, or understand, you're the God that knows it all. Now help us become more like you. Loving, understanding, extending grace and mercy, and reaching out to those that are in need. Don't let me become the seed that always wants to come from the knowledge of evil. Father, we cancel that seed. Uproot it now, and only let us see the good in each and every wonderful man, woman, and child that you created. Father, we thank you that today our eyes have been opened and that we're coming back to the garden state where the resources will come unto us. Father, we thank you. We thank you that it is finished on the tree of life. In Jesus' name, all of God's children said amen. Please understand the heart. Don't make this about sin. Don't make this about shortcomings. Make this about a commitment to Him. To try to do as best that you can. Because we're going to stumble and we're going to fall. We will. Don't matter how pretty you look, how handsome you look, He's the one that's in control. So the flip side of that, it don't matter how jacked up you look either. He's the one that's in control. Amen? Because he ain't worried about your looks. We are. He's not. He only sees beauty when he sees you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you got fed tonight. I got fed. I got fed. Well, I had me some steak and potatoes tonight. You know what I mean? Steak and potatoes, good stuff, man. You know, done right. Not the one that's just thrown on the grill real quick, burn it up and eat it. No, done right. He spoke to us today. Well, that's some deep revelation. I'm going to go home. I'm gonna listen to that bishop that was in here today. I don't know who that was. That was deep, man. I praise God for each and every one of you. Because when I behold you, I behold the face of God. Amen. Now, I want the babies. Give me the babies. Come on. Come on. Hannah, look at me, Hannah. Come on. Come on. We have the little ones are in the back. Come on. Hannah, you guys come up here. Bible says that God hears the prayers of the children. Children. Amen. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless each and every adult in this room. As we extend grace, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, back to these individuals, let them walk in grace and in favor. Unmerited favor. I mean, they can't do nothing to get it. They just have it. That tonight they all sleep with good sleep, peace, and wonderful dreams, and that their promises come to pass. Now, God, as we, as the children, pray for them, hear our prayers, God, that you already know before we even ask it. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. See, you guys can pray for your family. Simple. God, whatever they need, give it to them. Simple. Amen. Y'all want to go get the envelopes? And everybody give them one of those cards. Okay? Y'all hand them out.